Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza. U.S. support for humanitarian aid at the United Nations. Mideast peacekeepers at the UN say the U.S. has agreed to support a new program to temporarily send humanitarian aid directly to the Palestinian people. No terms of the agreement were revealed. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says the European Union will take the lead in the effort. The UN and Russia and other partners in the Quartet Peacemaking Group, along with the U.S., also endorsed the program. 19 are dead from a suicide truck bomb blast at an Iraqi market in Tal Afar. Police say some 35 have been wounded. The violence caps an already bloody day in which drive-by shootings killed four Iraqis and a roadside bomb killed a police officer in his patrol car. Back in March, you may recall, President Bush called the northern city of Tal Afar a success story for putting down rebel violence. A choice for Iran. Key Security Council nations have decided to offer Iran a choice of either sanctions or benefits as it decides whether to comply with international nuclear demands. Joining in the decision were the U.S., Russia, China, Britain, France, and Germany. A European official says the offer delays prospects for a harsh U.N. resolution that could have threatened sanctions or even military action for non-compliance. Tehran has already defied Security Council demands for an end to its country's nuclear enrichment program. A deal reached extending tax breaks for investors. Republicans in Congress have reached a deal on the $70 billion measure. The deal would also prevent more middle-income families from being hit by a tax aimed at the wealthy. The bill gives President Bush a two-year extension on the reduced 15% tax rate for capital gains and dividends, currently set to expire at the end of 2008. Republicans claim the tax cuts enacted in 2003 have boosted economic growth and created many jobs. The measure would also keep 15 million families from being hit this year with the alternative minimum tax. And a rare fungal eye infection has federal authorities stymied, but what they do know thus far is nearly two-thirds of the people with the eye infection reported using the newest contact lens cleaner from Bausch & Lomb. The company has stopped U.S. sales of its solution, Renew with Moisture Lock, after the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said it was investigating the outbreak of the infection. The CDC says the number of confirmed cases is now up to 106. A spokesman says it's still too early to say what's causing the infection. You are listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza.
mark consistently, and they say that person has an instinct for the capillaries as opposed to the more important arteries.
What a vampire. What an absolute vampire. We have that whole soundbite for you coming up a little bit later. We have some rummy ramblings from earlier today where he's furiously pounding the podium, pounding something, I guess is a podium, talking all kinds of wild-eyed nonsense about putting flesh and bones on new structures and having an instinct for capillaries and arteries. I wasn't sure if I was watching Department of Defense briefing or a rerun of Night of the Living Dead. This freak, Rumsfeld, is getting creepier by the day, isn't he? Months and months and months ago, I said he's a ghoul, an eater of dead flesh. You know, a lot of people are, hyperbolic Malloy. Really? You don't think he's a vampire? You don't think Rumsfeld is about 700 years old? You don't think his original name was Vlad Drostnik? Well, hey, I have some good news for you tonight. I really do. As you know, in Geneva, Switzerland, there is a conference going on, the United Nations Committee Against Torture. Huh? And since we are one of the premier practitioners of torture now, we are attending. We sent a 30-person delegation there to defend the United States and deny over and over and over and over and over again and again and again and again any connection between the Bush crime family and its perverted horde military and torture. No, we don't do this. But the U.S. Army says, one of the U.S. Army's representatives says that it, the Army, will in the future prohibit waterboarding when it issues its new interrogation manual. That's according to the State Department's legal advisor, who happened to be in Geneva, Switzerland, attending this. That's right, truth seekers, you heard it here second, because it's all over the Internet. The U.S. Army will prohibit waterboarding when it issues its new interrogation manual, and that should be, eventually. Now, the State Department torture geek who is attending this, you know, sometimes I just get the feeling that I would love to meet some of these bland, gray people face-to-face someplace. Someplace neutral, like an alley behind a bar or on a bus going from Geneva to Bern, or just someplace where... John Bellinger III, who is the spokes geek for all of this, says banning waterboarding in the next manual is not an admission that U.S. interrogators have been using the technique on detainees during our precious war on terrorism. No. We're just going to take it out of the manual. We never use it. We don't do it. No, stop. Whoa, back up. No, not doing it. But we're not going to do it anymore. Well, at least it won't be in the manual. The Army's decision here to outlaw the technique, according to Matthew Schofield, writing for Knight Ridder newspapers, the Army's decision to outlaw the technique has raised concerns about how widely it has been used and why the Army felt it needed to mention it in the manual. Previous versions of the manual, you see, haven't listed it, either as an approved technique or a banned technique. My goodness. So they're going to eliminate something from future torture manuals. Oh, I'm sorry, excuse me. Interrogation manuals. It will be eliminated, something that's not there now. Isn't that interesting? I mean, how do you do... Oh, don't question it, Mike. Just go with the flow. Just go with the flow. You have to love Don Rumsfeld. You have to love him. You have to see him as a lovable old coot who only has the interests of the United States at heart and its capillaries and main arteries. Jesus, God. I almost wish that I believed in a God. I almost wish I were not atheist so I could scream at the heavens and raise my fist and shake it and curse God for having created such a vile creature as Donnie Rumsfeld to walk the same earth that I and 2.5, 3, 7, 8, whatever the hell the billion population is at this point. Don't send me an email! Population is at this point. I know it's around 6, 7, 8, 9, 12, 20, 80, 70,000, a billion D. Speaking of a little hyperbolic, an email here from Tosh, who wrote to me last night. I made reference last night to Langley Air Force Base in Langley, where the CIA lives. And Tosh wants me to know that Langley Air Force Base and Langley, where the CIA lives, only share a name and a state. Langley Air Force Base is in the Tidewater area near Norfolk. And Langley, where the CIA lives, is on the Potomac River inside the D.C. Beltway along the George Washington Parkway. Thank you, Tosh. Am I starting to make more and more and more and more and more mistakes, Kathy, or is it just that I'm acknowledging them? Is it just that my audience has become more insistent on truth?
I'm not going to answer that on the grounds that I'd like to remain married for Molly's sake.
Did you see this? We mentioned last night that Bush was interviewed by a German newspaper when the new chancellor of Germany was here last week. And Bush told that newspaper, Bild am Sonntag, when asked about his, the high point in his presidency. And we gave you a Carter's statement about Mideast peace process efforts and Clinton's statements, basically the same. And, of course, Clinton said that we would all celebrate someday that he had coerced NATO into fighting a war in the middle of Europe and so on and so forth. And then when it came to George Bush, he said the high point of his life was when he caught a 7.5-pound perch in his lake. 7.5-pound perch in his lake. Now, the only problem with that, and kudos to the Stacey Taylor Show on KLSD AM in San Diego, station that carries Air America programs also, but to Stacey Taylor on KLSD in San Diego, congratulations for catching this. The problem with Bush's statement is that the world's record for the largest freshwater perch caught is 4 pounds, 3 ounces. So either Bush nearly doubled the world record on a perch and didn't report it, or he's a liar. Gosh, I wonder what it is. He caught a 7.5-pound perch in his lake, and the world record is 4 pounds, 3 ounces. This son of a bitch will lie about everything. He lies simply because he lies for the same reason a dog walking down the street sits down every 20 feet and licks himself, because he can.
Well, then again, considering their penchant for pollution, God knows what they've been dumping in that lake. You could get a 7.5-pound perch. Who knows?
Yeah, it's actually a 3-pound perch with a 4.5-pound tumor on it. Does that count? Okay. Jimmy Carter, 15 July 1979, quote, beginning this moment, this nation will never use foreign oil, more foreign oil than we did in 1977. Never. From now on, every new addition to our demand for energy will be met from our own production and our own conservation. The generation-long growth and our dependence on foreign oil will be stopped dead in its tracks right now and then reversed as we move on through the 80s. For I am tonight setting the further goal of cutting our dependence on foreign oil by one half by the end of the next decade, a saving of over 4.5 million barrels of imported oil per day. To give us energy security, I'm asking for the most massive peacetime commitment of funds and resources in our nation's history to develop America's own alternative sources of fuel. This effort will permit all of us to build conservation into our homes and our lives at a cost we can all afford. Oh, Jimmy.
And out of school, I don't want to be annoying. by Reagan or by Freud, gone fishing. Instead of just a wish.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story. When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees. I started using Aleve. You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Some of the best minds in the automotive industry, using some of the most sophisticated design facilities. Engineers from Ford Motor Company are working together on a common mission, creating safer cars for our families and our children. Ford is renewing its commitment to driving American innovation. At the core of that effort is your safety, because every single life saved is worth it. Ford, driving American innovation.
Soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Okay, regarding Bush's perch statement, KL in Hawaii writes, he may be too stupid to know what a perch is and caught a bass. And Dave in South Georgia writes, Mike, Bush was quoted by a reporter from a German paper, but the term that was used in the paper was Barsch, B-A-R-S-C-H. This term could be translated into any type of lake fish, from a perch to a bass. I hate the shrub, but this time it's just a translation error. He's still an evil little snot and is most likely exaggerating about the bass as well. And regarding the Army's new manual that will outlaw waterboarding, and the Army's manual does not include waterboarding, but the Army has been doing it, Jack in New York City writes, Mike, don't you know that when they outlaw waterboarding, they'll use boarding and water, just like napalm? Yeah, that's right. They don't call it napalm anymore, do they? We all know that at this point that Hillary Clinton may have a fundraiser provided for her by, what's his name at Fox News, the king of global fascism where it concerns media, the old Murdoch man himself. I'm astounded by that story, but it's still hanging out there. I wonder if that happens, and Murdoch does have such an event for Hillary. If she'll get him aside and say, hey, listen, Roop, about your Fox News military analyst there, David Hunt, retired U.S. Army colonel the other day, can you kind of rein him in? You know what this guy said? This is according to NewsHounds. On last Thursday, this guy, David Hunt, retired U.S. Army colonel who is now a Fox News military analyst, he reacted to the life sentence for Zacharias Moussaoui by calling for an end to the American constitutional right to a trial by a jury of one's peers and in place, yes, professional juries to handle criminal cases. That's right, truth seekers. How about that? David Hunt said on Dayside, that's apparently a Fox News program, that the jurors in the case missed it because they failed to give Moussaoui the death penalty because of his role in the 9/11 tragedy. And what was that role again? Oh, that's right. Fantasy. Like fantasy golf. And fantasy gaming. And never mind. David Hunt, the retired U.S. Army colonel who wants to do away with the right to a trial by jury, said, I think it's time to get professional jurors. We've had O.J. Simpson, this guy, and others. He added that he understands the legal issues involved. Well, as NewsHound says, Hunt may understand, but he doesn't appreciate the importance of having a jury that is separate from the government that is doing the prosecuting. Hello. And his comment makes one wonder exactly what American freedoms he thought he was protecting during his years in the Army. Well, NewsHound's dear heart, he wasn't protecting anything. He was acting out his deep-seated need to kill, murder, butcher, maim, and destroy. He wasn't protecting America's freedoms. Come on, come on, come on, come on. This schmuck, this is a Vietnam guy. He's not protecting anything. Vietnam was nothing about protecting the United States. Ugh. Now, the interesting thing was his comment, according to NewsHounds, brought forth absolutely no comment from the co-hosts on Fox News' day side, Juliet Huddy or Steve Doocy. They sat there like the little animatrons that they are and didn't say a word when this crazy psycho son of a bitch says he wants to end jury trials because the jury in the Moussaoui case didn't hand out the death penalty. This is where we're at. This is where we're at, see? These former military schmucks, what do you see? Somebody sent me an email. This is Manuel. He says, hi, Mike, when we see a picture of a dictator, who stands in the background? Answer, the military. The military. This Bush crime family, Cheney and Rumsfeld, the chief instigators, are salting every single... It's a wonder they're not nominating a retired military generals to be on the Supreme Court or the federal bench. They are putting military people everywhere. Do you understand what's going on here? Do you? Thank God we only have two nights, maybe three left, of reading 1984, and we're finished with the novel. Can you believe that? Because I would imagine very soon it's going to be blacklisted. It's not going to be, well, hell, Air America Radio will probably be deep sixed. Are you kidding? Not only is the idea of eliminating a jury, you know, trial by jury, what a quaint idea. Not only is that idea, as Newsound says, shockingly un-American, it's also an attempt to cover up for the failures of the Bush administration. Professional juries. You sick bastards. See, it never stops. Every day. Every single day. It's something else. No more Fourth Amendment. No more jury trials. No more right to avoid self-incrimination. We now have free speech zones, for Christ's sake. It just doesn't stop, does it? Huh? And where's Bush approval rating at 31%? You mean there are 31% of people asked still approve this Nazi bastard?
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hey, True Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Are you as alarmed as I am by the assault on our freedoms by the religious right? An essential element of freedom is the right to choose or reject religious beliefs. And this is why I fully support the Freedom From Religion Foundation, as it takes the lead in challenging the growing threat from the religious right in the United States. If you'd like further information on the dangers of living in a theocracy, please call 800-335-4021. 800-335-4021. Or visit their website, ffrf.org.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine? Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon.
Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste.
And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
26 before the hour, Bobby Ray Inman, who is a former National Security Agency director, was he a Carter guy, or was he a Clinton guy, or was he a Bush one guy? I just don't remember. But former NSA director, this is according to Wired.com, and I don't have the entire article in front of me. I got a link, but not the entire article. Scott just sent this in. Former NSA director Bobby Ray Inman lashed out at the Bush administration Monday night over his continued use of warrantless domestic wiretaps, making him, Inman, one of the highest-ranking former intelligence officials to criticize the program in public. Here's what he said, quote, "This activity is not authorized. The Bush administration needs to get away from the idea that they can continue doing it." Well, I appreciate that, Mr. Inman. I really do, or Bobby Ray, however you want to be called, sir, but the Bush crime family is not going to get away from anything. They are consolidating their abuse of the U.S. Constitution, and they are injecting into what should be civilian-controlled areas, military men, for a very simple reason. Military people are trained not to think. They are not allowed to be creative. This is simply a fact. The most important thing in the military is chain of command. That's all. Do not think outside the line or the box. Do not color outside the lines. Write in short sentences. Use as many abbreviations as you can. Sure, you can go to the War College. You can get a degree in foreign languages. But you may not be creative or think outside the box on any level whatsoever. When you are ordered to do something, you do it, yes, sir, immediately, all the way up the chain of command. Now, that's not a criticism of the United States military. That is the basic structure of the U.S. military. You do it because you are told to do it. Period. End of story. It's astonishing. And it's not going to stop. The only thing that's going to stop it is to get rid of him, to get rid of Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld and Rice and the entire collection of neo-Nazi killers who now run this country. There is no alternative. A redemption? Change their ways? Oh, please, please. Bush's approval rating, which doesn't mean a damn thing, is at 31%. You know what Cheney's is? The last I heard, 18%. 82% of the people in this country think Dick Cheney is either a thug, a liar, incompetent, a thief, a crazy son of a bitch, or whatever it is. The Republican-controlled Congress, both House and Senate, the ratings in the tank. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Do you think that has been a break on these people? Has it slowed them down? No. It's accelerated what they're doing. Why? Because they understand how important it is to consolidate control as quickly and as brutally as possible. Get it done. Get it done now. So, and as far as the elections this November, this is going to be very, very interesting. And I mean the entire process, whether it is, whether or not it even occurs, how the exit polls correspond to the actual vote results, whether or not the Diebold machines or the SS machines or all these filthy, stinking, democracy-murdering machines are used, what kind of tactics are, it's going to be very interesting, isn't it? And the final outcome. The final outcome, the morning after, when the votes are counted. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens, isn't it? This is a vote, by the way, this November, Truth Seeker, is a vote on fascism, very simply. There's no other issue here. This is a vote on totalitarianism in the United States. If the vote goes Republican, and by whatever means, whether it's stolen, done fairly, it doesn't matter. If the vote is certified and goes Republican in any manner, then it's finished. Do you understand that? The entire experiment is finished. That's it. It's over. Because at that point, then, it will be impossible to undo the damage these filthy America-murdering bastards are perpetrating on this country. It's over. It's finished. You do understand? Sure you do. Of course you do. You all email me and tell me the same thing. This is from John. I think it's from John. Yeah, I guess it's from John. John writes, in late 2000, year 2000, on arriving at my Santa Rosa County, Florida polling place to vote for a Democrat, I was told three times by poll workers that I had overvoted my ballot and was sent on my way. Since that day, I tell my Republican friends and family that something has gone very wrong within the Republican Party. Enduring years of accusations I was lying or just a partisan hack, I find myself transformed into part of what I am accused, a loyal Democrat. I believe a new kind of Democrat. I believe I'm a new kind of Democrat, an NRA Democrat, a states' rights Democrat, an individual liberties Democrat, in other words, a constitutional Democrat. We Americans, Republican or Democrat, are doing something of a trial by fire, watching many core American values cast aside by the regime in power. American values like honesty, integrity, forthrightness, fiscal responsibility, and individual liberty. It is our birthright as Americans to be free to speak our minds and to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures. States' rights are circumvented daily by an increasingly corporate-controlled national government. America, wake up and defend your birthrights. By the way, where is the Republican outrage? Well, that's from John in Gulf Breeze, Florida, and just thought I would share it with him. A couple more items here, and then we're going to get on with sound bites and really important stuff, and most important, your phone calls, all right? Can I give the number? 866-303-2270. You know what the number is. Britain's Prime Minister Tony Blair said that any suggestion of a nuclear strike on Iran would be, quote, absolutely absurd, close quote. Absolutely. You lapdog, bush butt-licking freak. Blair! Blair said, quote, well, didn't know anybody who has even talked about or contemplated the prospect of a nuclear strike on Iran. That would be absolutely absurd. The comments were made at his first regular monthly news conference after his ruling party was sliced and diced in England's local elections last week. Blair also dismissed as rubbish the reports that he had gotten rid of Jack Straw's foreign secretary over differences with the U.S. about Iran. You know, the report circulated that he fired his home secretary, Jack Straw, because Cheney and Rumsfeld called Blair up and said, all right, you limey bastard, get rid of him. Get rid of him! And Tony, being the little twerp that he is, apparently said, yes, sir. They got rid of him. But they gave him an out. They said, now you can go out there and tell him that with nobody, you know, nobody told you to do it, but get rid of that son of a bitch. He doesn't want to use nukes on Iran. Get rid of him. It was Jack Straw who originally made the statement that any talk of an attack on Iran was bordered on the insane. So he's gone. I mean, within 72 hours after saying that, he's gone. I believe it was 72 hours. Oh, please don't write me an email and correct me. Jesus, I can't get anything right lately. Blair said, the idea that I moved Jack because of Iran, because the Americans objected to him, is rubbish. Any notion that is linked to a decision about invading Iran, Blair added, which incidentally we are not going to do, any notion that it is linked to such a decision is utterly absurd. And then he says he chose Margaret, that's the new, the former environment minister to be the new, what do you call, what would the equivalent, I guess the equivalent would be Secretary of State. But the new foreign secretary is the former environment minister, Margaret Beckett. And he says, I chose Margaret because she's an outstanding politician, a very, very safe pair of hands. What does that mean, Tony? A very, very safe pair of hands. That must be some sort of Brit expression that doesn't mean what my evil mind thinks it means, right? Or immediately thinks it a very safe pair of hands. Blair added, I have absolutely no doubt that the foreign policy that was articulated by Jack will not change one iota under Margaret. Okay, question, Tony. If it's not going to change one iota, why'd you fire Jack? Jesus Christ, you're getting to be just like Bush. You lie about everything. You're toast, Tony. 6 months, you're gone. You have a parliamentary system. Not like us. We have an easily manipulated, cough, cough, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, electoral system based on, oh, never mind what it's based on. But not you, Tony. Your ass is history before the summer's out. Mark my words. Mark my words. Because people in your own party, the former Honorable Labor Party, are calling for you to take a walk. And the conservatives, for Christ's sake, handed you your ass, your party its ass in the last elections in the British Isles, didn't it, Tony? So, goodbye. It's been a long run. You started out as a decent guy, but you've really gone in the toilet. So, goodbye, Tony Blair. Goodbye, 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 in case I don't have a chance to say goodbye later. Awful stuff. Oh, let me digress for a second. I got an email from a friend A lot of you listen to this program through radiopower.org, and our good friend there, Shelby LaPre. Radiopower.org provides an awful lot, more than just this program or other programs, all sorts of things. You're familiar with it. Shelby took a tremendous hit recently. Her equipment was struck. I think it wasn't a thunderstorm of some sort, Kathy. It just got knocked to pieces. If you want to help out, radiopower.org is going to disappear. It's gone. Okay? It's gone. It's over. Unless she gets some donations soon. Radiopower.org. Do what you want, but just thought I'd let you know. Okay? Radiopower.org. That's Shelby LaPre's outfit, and they have been, she's just done incredible work by herself. Here we are again. You know, if it was radiopower.org/Fox News Channel or Clear Channel, she'd be in great shape. You want to do something? Okay. You don't? Okay. Radiopower.org. We'll be right back after this break. I'm Mike Malloy.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Katie Rodan. Dr. Kathy Fields and I created Proactive Solution because acne is the number one problem we see in our practices. As dermatologists, we treat acne as a physical condition. But what really affected us was seeing the emotional toll acne takes. So maybe you're the one with the breakouts. You shy away from social situations. You avoid being photographed. Or you won't leave the house without makeup. So what's preventing you from trying Proactiv? My guess is that you're afraid. You're afraid that it just won't work. Afraid to get your hopes up, only to be disappointed. This time you don't have to worry. We are so confident that Proactiv will work for you that I'm offering you a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Solution.
Just call 1-800-426-0651 and you'll become a believer. Let Proactiv prove it. Call 1-800-426-0651 for your risk-free trial. Call 1-800-426-0651. Call now.
As you know, Vladimir Putin and I have got a good personal relationship. This is a vital and important relationship, and the relationship's an important relationship, and I would call the relationship a good relationship.
Yeah, but tell us again about that perch, or that bass. E is calling from Geneva, Switzerland. E, welcome to the program.
I've got a present for you.
Yes?
Yeah, it's called Sir No Sir. Type it in and play it. You're going to love it.
Sir
the
No
trailer.
Sir.
SirNoSir.com.
SirNoSir.com.
Mm-hmm. Right, you're going to love it.
What is it?
It's a film coming out soon, coming to everyone.
And what is your connection to the film, E?
Well, I'm a friend of someone who's developed it. Yeah. Not as in film, as in created it. Okay? If you can play it on the break, that'll help out ending the war.
Okay, and what prompted you to call from Switzerland? Just to tell us that?
The Committee Against Torture. I sent you some questions there. If you read the first 10 questions and then read 12 and then read question 17, they have 750, signing statements? I think they're 750.
Right.
Yeah, I think they're 750 confessions.
Oh, my God. I noticed on your website that Ebert and Roper have given it two thumbs up.
Right. If you play it, you're going to love it. You're going to love it.
All right. Now, what did you send me the trailer?
If you click on it, I couldn't send it. You know, that's why I wanted to call.
I see.
Call it first.
All right. Okay. So what?
It's GI saying no.
Yeah. All right.
To
so,
end the war.
So you want people just to go to it and there's a trailer
and
there?
Listen to it. Yeah, it's 140 or 150 seconds or something like that.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. Okay. We'll do it during the break.
Okay. Love you. Tell mommy hey. Hey girl.
I'll do it.
Have a world to live in.
Eat some Swiss cheese for me, okay?
Yeah. And if they get a chance, also they can go to AARP. But put an H in front of it. HAARP.
Uh huh.
Me just saying it makes the guilty ones run.
All right.
A wall. God bless you. Keep
Thanks.
Going.
Thanks, E. Take care.
No
take care. All
okay.
right.
Love you. Bye-bye.
See ya. HAARP. What is that? Holes in Heaven. You just had the website there. Kathy brings these up right away. Holes in Heaven, a documentary. This is about missile technology? I don't know. Wow, this is great. Okay. It's about Nikola Tesla, the guy who really invented radio, right? Okay. Sorry, I digress. All right, to the phone calls. Tom! He's calling from San Diego. Tom, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Glad to talk to you.
My pleasure.
Hey, I'd like just to ask you a question. I have this feeling that the reason they invaded Iraq to begin with, and it was just short to draw down the oil supplies to drive up the prices. And I think he wants to go into Iran for the same reason. What do you think about that? I don't know.
I think that was a hoped-for consequence, and it worked. It might have been an intended consequence. But I think really the reason the Bush crime family invaded Iraq was, first of all, it's kind of a nod to their allies in the Israeli government. That's not first, but it's in the top three or four. Second, it helps establish an iron necklace around China. Because we are now in Pakistan and Afghanistan and Kazakhstan and Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan and Iraq, and soon, if these psychopaths have their way, we'll be in Iran. So you see, if you take a look at a map and look at that iron necklace around China and India, because it's since we have a regime in place in this country that can't think beyond next month's profit report. They're not planning anything where it concerns the use of fuels other than oil or natural gas. Nothing. Zero. Zilch. So they need to lock down in their addled brains whatever supplies are available. So it's that. The other thing, the geopolitical thing, I think, has to do with maintaining support of Israel, because the Christian psychopaths who now run this government are using Israel, and the Israelis are using the Christian psychopaths. It's a real sick relationship, because I've said this 1,000 times. I'll say it again. I don't understand why the Israelis don't realize that when the day comes These American Christian psychopaths will cut their throats to the. They will wreak more hell on Israel than any 10 Arab Muslim states could, because Israel is the key to these Christian psychopaths' stairway to heaven, and they'll do it to them. I cannot understand. It's one thing to be geopolitically dependent on someone else. It's something else, again, to be used in religious superstition to the extent that the Israelis are being used by these Christian psychopaths. So whatever, you know, whatever, right?
Well, you're right. You know, these Christian psychopaths are just weird. It's like my neighbor. So they thought it was so great that they love Bush. They think he's great. Yeah. Went and invaded Iraq. My wife says, well, when are your kids going to go join them? I don't want my kids in the military. You know, hey, put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah,
you know?
I hear you.
It just pisses me off to the hilt.
I know.
Hey, Mike, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it, Tom. Take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
All right. We have a break coming up here momentarily, so what we're going to do is not get involved in another phone call here. I see Herb from Mississippi has called in. We've been talking about that railroad deal and the road deal. Herb has some information about that because he lives there. We're going to talk about that, the railroad relocation bill. I think Herb has also written a piece about it that's out there on the web. And maybe he'll tell us what the quick email address is, or I'm sorry, web address is. Anyway, that and your phone calls and some sound from Crazy Rummy when we come back. You don't want to miss this. All right, stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Okay, class, let's get back to vocabulary. Who can use the word rich in a sentence? Allison?
I like the rich colors of autumn leaves.
Very good. Kenny?
Rich chocolate Ovaltine rocks.
Okay, Kenny, try another one.
Ovaltine has a rich chocolatey taste. It's rich in nutrition, and it's richer in vitamins and minerals than Nesquik powder.
I get the point, Kenny. You love your Ovaltine, but...
That's rich chocolate Ovaltine, Mrs. McGee.
Got it.
More Ovaltine, please!
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story.
When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees.
I started using Aleve.
You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza. A rare fungal eye infection has federal health authorities stymied. But what they do know thus far is nearly two-thirds of the people with the infection reported using the newest contact lens cleaner made by Bausch & Lomb. The company has stopped U.S. sales of its solution, Renew with Moisture Lock, after the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said it was investigating the outbreak of the infection. The CDC says the number of confirmed cases is now up to 106, and a spokeswoman says it's still too early to say what's causing it. A federal inspection of a Bausch & Lomb factory in South Carolina didn't turn up any evidence of contamination, but more detailed tests should take weeks to analyze. A deal reached extending tax breaks for investors. Republicans in Congress have reached the deal on a $70 billion measure. The deal would also prevent more middle-income families from being hit by a tax aimed at the wealthy. The bill gives President Bush a two-year extension of the reduced 15% tax rate for capital gains and dividends, currently set to expire at the end of 2008. Republicans claim the tax cuts enacted in 2003 have boosted economic growth and created many jobs. U.S. support for humanitarian aid at the United Nations. Mideast peacekeepers at the United Nations say the U.S. has agreed to support a new program to temporarily send humanitarian aid directly to the Palestinian people. No terms of the agreement were revealed. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says the European Union will take the lead in the new effort. The United Nations and Russia and other partners in the Quartet Peacemaking Group, along with the U.S., also endorsed the program. 17 die from a suicide truck bomb blast at an Iraqi market in Tal Afar. Police say some 35 have been wounded. The violence caps an already bloody day in which drive-by shootings killed four Iraqis and a roadside bomb killed a police officer in his patrol car. Back in March, you'll recall, President Bush called the northern city of Tal Afar a success story for putting down rebel violence. A choice for Iran. Key Security Council nations have decided to offer Iran a choice of either sanctions or benefits as it decides whether to comply with international nuclear demands. Joining in the decision were the U.S., Russia, China, Britain, France, and Germany. A European official says the offer delays prospects for a harsh U.N. resolution that could have threatened sanctions or even military action for non-compliance. Tehran has already defied Security Council demands for an end to Iran's nuclear enrichment program. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza.
Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. This is a Malloy program on Air America. Before we go to the phone calls, if you remember, I don't know, a few weeks back, I had a guy on named Dr. Roger Libby, who also happens to be a friend of mine. Yes, he does. And he had written a book on teenage sexuality that was just, not just teenage, but 20-something sexuality. And it was based essentially on a program he used to do on 99X here in Atlanta, contemporary rock station. Roger's program, when he was on that station, was the top-rated program in Atlanta. Nobody had. Now, granted, he was only on for a couple hours on a Sunday night, but there was no other program that had a higher audience share than his sex talk program. And it wasn't sleazy. It was very clinical. As a matter of fact, we used to tell him it was too clinical. Nobody listened to it. You got to have a little sleaze. And, of course, Roger wouldn't do that. He stuck strictly with the clinical aspect of it, in addition to promoting the idea that sex can, guess what, really be fun, you know, if you do it right. Whether you do it inside a marriage, outside a marriage, or whether you're man, woman, straight, gay, blah, 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 blah. That's Roger. He's a sociologist. That's his approach. We had him on the air to promote his book, and he and his publisher have been trying to get him some press and publicity ever since he was on this program, because, you know, we had him on the program first. Well, I got an email from him. I've been getting a couple from him. NPR, that great liberal radio network, Roger wanted to get on All Things Considered. And All Things Considered notified Roger's agent that the book was too edgy for them, too edgy. He wanted to have something written about it by Newsweek. Newsweek wrote and said, quote, "It is borderline inappropriate," end quote. Borderline inappropriate. Now, the book was based on conversations that Roger had on the air with people who called in with legitimate questions about sex. Teens, 20-somethings, hell, I would imagine you got 30-somethings. This was a contemporary rock station, so you know the demo is probably 14 through 28, something like that. That was their target audience, I guess. But a lot of people listened on Sunday night just to hear Roger's program. So Newsweek magazine says it's borderline inappropriate to talk about the realities of teenage sex, which includes sex education, includes abstinence, because Roger never recommends that people go screw like bunnies. What Roger recommends is that you use your brain. And if you are going to have sex, for heaven's sake, understand what you're doing. Understand how to avoid STDs and unwanted pregnancies and yada, 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 yada. But that's borderline inappropriate to Newsweek magazine. That's where we live. That's where we live. It is not borderline inappropriate to take these Mad Hatter generals and stick them into every area of American governance and control. That's okay. But to discuss teenage and 20-something sex in a book and have the book discussed in Newsweek magazine or NPR, oh, no, 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 no. That's borderline inappropriate. Jesus, Roger, if you're listening tonight, I'm sorry, pal, but you knew what you were taking on when you wrote the book. I just wish that you sold a million copies. I don't know. It take this for what it's worth, but that kind of attitude really sucks, doesn't it, Roger? Huh? All right, let's go back to your phone calls. The number here again, what the hell, I got four open lines tonight? Come on, 866-303-2270. Now, let's talk with Herb in Mississippi about this railroad relocation bill that, if it goes through, it's going to cost U.S. taxpayers $700 million. Is that right, Herb?
Yeah, that's right, Mike. Also, another interesting little spin to it that I have recently found out. I got word that the area that they were going to relocate the railroad to probably would be a community where poor and some middle class black people live.
Oh, there's a surprise.
This is a black community, and I'm familiar with the area because I have family down there and I lived in the area for a while. So this is going to, it is a casino interest. Okay, so that's
right.
That is a foregone conclusion. But they will relocate this railroad, and these people will be uprooted. Now, whether they'll get the value of their land or not, that remains to be seen. You know how the government works.
Sure.
And
well, this government, yeah.
Yeah, and this is Mississippi, too. So, you know.
Sure.
I love Mississippi, but, hey, facts are facts. And so I've called Senator Lott and Senator Cochran's offices the last few days. I called Lott's office Friday, Monday, and today. And I called Cochran's Monday and today. And they don't want to talk about it.
Really?
They will not. The people in the Jackson office tell me they don't know anything about it, and they transfer me to Washington.
They don't know anything about the bill to spend.
Yeah. In fact, one person even asked me in Senator Lott's office, "Is this legislation?"
Oh my God!
And so they were supposed to get back with me, and of course they haven't. I gave them my email and phone number, but you know they don't care, and. The information that I got this from is from people in the area, and there's other people that have tipped me off that, you know, I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want to reveal my source.
Okay.
But I have some really, really solid sources in this. So the area that they are definitely considering is an area that's going to create more disruption to the black community. These people are barely scraping by as it is. And this is just going to just uproot them. Most of them are renting, so they're just going to be thrown out to the wolves. And so this is really a dirty situation, and I'll tell you how callous the Lott office is. I called there today and talked to a lady, and I'm using the word loosely, but she just was really rude. You know, she didn't want to talk to me. She was trying to push me off. And I said, ma'am, I'm a registered voter in Mississippi, and Trent is one of the people that I vote for. So, you know, I think you would want to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And she just really wanted to put me off real bad. She got really rude, and I said, ma'am, look, I've been trying for 3 days to talk to you people. Now, what is the problem? What are y'all trying to hide? And, oh, she got upset with me and told me I was yelling at her, and she didn't like it. So I said, ma'am, would you please connect me through to the D.C. office? No, I can't. And I said, ma'am, I have the last 3 days called, and I know you can. She said, ma'am, I'll connect you to the front desk. To the switchboard. So she put me on the switchboard, and I said, who was that lady? And I want to mention her in my article.
Was it Mrs. Trent Lott? No,
there is no Mrs. Trent Lott.
Oh, well, there isn't?
No, see, I happen to be a little kin to Trent.
Oh, don't go there. Don't go there.
it's the real
All right. Now, first of all, you're not surprised. You know, black folk listen to the program right now, listen to the phone call here, Herb. They're just nodding their heads. It's nothing. It doesn't mean anything.
Well,
black folk in southern Mississippi are going to be hammered again. Oh, yawn. So what else is new?
Well, see, now here's where people in our audience, in your audience, can make a difference right here. There is a man running against Trent Lott. His name is Eric Fleming. He was mentored by Henry Kurtzey. He is a black man, an excellent man. I adore him. You can go to his site,
www.fleming2006.org. Wait a minute. Fleming, Fleming.
Mm-hmm.
Fleming2006.org.
Right. He is an excellent man. He has helped me personally during Katrina. He called and checked on me. He asked me if I needed something, and he asked about my sister. He's trying to help my sister. You hear, there's the music.
Yeah, there's the music. All right, listen, send me an email right now where your article is, and right now folks are going to Fleming 2006.
Okay, Powers and Morrison, Powers and Morrison,
Powers.com.
Powers and Morrison, that's where your article is?
Yeah.
Okay, email it to me so I can say it on the air again. And you're talking about Fleming2006.org.
Yes, sir. And thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
All right, let's see if people can crash that site. Thanks, Herb. Thanks for checking in. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Never thought I'd live to learn to love the cold earth. Never thought I'd pray to hear those temples roar. But God, I wish the grass would turn to money, and then them greenbacks would fill my pockets once more.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Thanks a lot for the ride home. Hey, no problem. Just because you're a sophomore doesn't mean I can't talk to you.
Thanks.
Hey, while you're here, want to take a hit of some weed? Some good stuff. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, The Anti-Drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story. When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees. I started using Aleve. You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
shuffling madness on the locomotive breath.
It's good to see, be able to look in people's eyes and not see them all bloodshot.
You sick bastard. All right, crazy old bloodsucker and Secretary of Defense everlasting for all eternity, Rummy Rumsfeld. Today, in all his podium-pounding lunacy, he's going to answer a reporter's question about Rummy's boy who cried wolf problem with possible Iranian weapons, right? Now, as you hear him answer, when he gets into his answer and he talks about the intelligence community, remember, it was intelligence that was fabricated in partly by him and his defense intelligence agency, right? Right? Okay. Reporter says, Mr. Secretary, a specific on an intelligence question. Last week, the issue of pre-war intelligence came up again in Atlanta. You dealt with that as you did. Now, looking forward, given the pre-war intel failures on Iraq, how confident are you on all the assessments you've been getting about Iran's not only nuclear capability, but Iran's intent? Why shouldn't the American people, given the pre-war failures in Iraq, be confident in what they're getting from the intelligence community on Iran?
The intelligence community had views on Iraq.
Bud.
That information was available to the president, to me. It was the information that was available to Secretary Colin Powell and Condi Rice when they and George Tenet worked on his presentation for the United Nations over a period of many days.
So what?
It was the intelligence information that was available to the Congress of the United States.
So what?
It was available to other countries that had exactly the same view that we all did. It turns out it was wrong, that intelligence. Fair enough. It's a tough business. It's a difficult thing to be right all the time. And the information was not correct. Does that give one pause? You bet.
Oh, Jesus, God. Oh, I swear I wish I believed in God so I could pray him into hell. Oh! He says it was the intelligence information available to the Congress of the United States and all these cabinet people he mentions. But it was all lies, you rat bastard, and you and Cheney made it lies. What the hell? It was available to other countries at exactly the same view that we did. Like who? Moldova? Slovenia? Lapdog Blair's Britain? Please! So he says it turns out the intelligence was wrong. No, it turns out that your lies were discovered, you psychopathic bloodsucker. And then the cavalier attitude, and the information was not correct. Does that give one pause? You bet. This time we'll do a better job of covering our tracks when we make up crap about another nation's phony WMDs. Problem is, Iran really might have actual nukes. Uh-oh. It's a tough business, he says, and it's difficult being... it's a difficult thing to be right all the time when you're dealing with the lives of hundreds of thousands of people, you blood-sucking vampire. You better be right all the time, or at least not lie about it. Jesus, God, this guy is disgusting. The arrogance that just dribbles and slops out of his mouth every time he hits the podium. Now, back to my crazy old psychokilla here and all his nonsensical podium-pounding glory, just the way I like him. The reporter says, Mr. Secretary, do you think it's important to have intelligence that is independent of the military? To have an agency which is not military? Or is there any reason why all intelligence gathering should be done effectively under the Pentagon? Now tell me, does this answer make any sense to you normal people out there?
It isn't, in my view, something that any one entity necessarily ought to be in charge of, to go after your question. It's something that we're trying to figure out what the Congress, the executive branch, are trying to figure out what the arrangements ought to be.
What?
So you have a piece of legislation that's new that is, how do you characterize it? It is... It doesn't tell everyone in the intelligence business what they should do when they get up in the morning. It was an effort to try to, on a macro basis, which is what legislation does, as opposed to a micro basis, try to set up a structure that might be more appropriate. And the players, the actors in this scene, are busy trying to put the flesh and bones on that new structure.
What? The players? The actors? What do you mean? The people being turned into red mist in Iraq? The American soldiers having their heads and faces and arms blown off? The Iraqi civilians having their spleens ripped out and plastered up against a wall someplace? You evil son of a bitch! These are not players! These are not actors! And it's not a scene! It's mass murder! It's blowing things up! It's destroying a country! Trying to put flesh and bones on that new structure in a way that's in the best interest of the country. Okay, now, what about having a civilian intelligence agency not connected to the Pentagon? I think you kind of didn't answer, you blood-sucking old bastard, you. I think you kind of didn't answer the question, sir.
Lay off the bed of love and respect. A total rank fighter over the hill. I saw the front line boys pop.
Can you stand it? This is Air America.
They find on their desert state on the bravery of being out of rank. Yeah, the prisoner's wet.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Must you sacrifice your values to be a successful investor? At Pax World, we don't think so. We offer you the opportunity to invest with your values. We also believe companies meeting higher social and environmental standards are better long-term investments. Pax World, socially responsible mutual fund since 1971. Available with a low $250 minimum investment.
You should consider a fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses before investing. For this and other important information, please obtain a fund prospectus by calling 1-800-767-1729 or online at paxworld.com. Please read the prospectus carefully before investing.
Who was the first automaker to introduce factory-installed safety belts and roll stability control? First to introduce emergency trunk releases and offer head and chest side airbags? And who is working on future safety innovations like lane departure warning and blind spot alert systems? It's Ford Motor Company. Ford engineers are working to help protect children, keep families safer, and save lives. Ford, driving American innovation.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story.
When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees.
I started using Aleve.
You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Are you as alarmed as I am by the assault on our freedoms by the religious right? An essential element of freedom is the right to choose or reject religious beliefs. And this is why I fully support the Freedom From Religion Foundation as it takes the lead in challenging the growing threat from the religious right in the United States. If you'd like further information on the dangers of living in a theocracy, please call 800-335-4021. 800-335-4021 or visit their website, ffrf.org.
We'll be right back.
And I can understand people being abhorrent about war. War is terrible.
Yeah. Okay, back to crazy old bloodsucker and Secretary of Defense, everlasting for all eternity, Rumsfeld. A little bit more here on the infighting going on behind the scenes between Power Mad Rummy, Power Mad Bush, Power Mad Negroponte, Power Mad Cheney, Power Mad whoever. It's all about who gets to peek into your private life the most. That's all they care about. These voyeuristic killers. Huh? Rummy must not be getting enough halcyon in his morning OJ, OJ and Oxblood cocktail. They would do human blood, but they don't allow him anywhere near a blood bank anymore. And he's snapping at the reporters today. Oh, he's snapping. Oh, boy. Reporter says, sir! With the resignation of Portugal, sir, and the nomination of a new director of Central Intelligence, one of the narratives that's going on in the background is about how Donald Rumsfeld, that'd be you, sir, is trying to seize control of more and more of intelligence operations. One of the examples, sir, that's given is the creation of this new office, sir, in the Pentagon to have covert ops teams going after high-value targets, that means kidnapping and murder, and collecting intelligence. Could you talk about the rationale for that, please, sir, yes, sir, and whether or not you are, in fact, looking for the Pentagon to have greater control over intelligence collection or analysis, and please don't kill me after you answer.
The short answer is no, we're not. The better answer, more complete answer, would be that the quality of the debate on this subject is pedestrian and unimpressive.
Oh, excuse me, sir!
You know, if you stop and say, what's the single most important thing about the discussion on intelligence, one would have thought that rational people, responsible people, would have understood that it's trying to find the formula, the way, the structure, the arrangements, so that we can provide the very best intelligence for the American people so that they can be protected. That's what's central to this.
Oh, okay.
And yet, if you look at the debate and the articles in the newspaper and the comments that are being made, they're all off the mark.
Kill me.
There's a saying for people who miss the mark consistently, and they say that person has an instinct for the capillaries as opposed to the more important arteries.
Oh, my God!
You know, I don't know. We have lunch every week or two. General Hayden and Negroponte and Portagross. I have for 5 years. I feel very good about the relationships. There's no power play taking place in Washington.
Oh,
people
no.
can run around and find somebody who will tell them almost anything they want. But it's interesting how little facts ever get attached to any of these thumbsuckers that get printed in the press.
Thumbsuckers! Thumbsuckers! Oh, my God, there's a different prefix to that word other than thumb that I think you might have been thinking about. Hey, Rummy? Huh? What is this he said? There's a saying for people who miss the mark consistently, and they say that person is a target. No, just kidding. Has an instinct for the capillaries as opposed to the more important arteries? Jesus H. Christ, I'm not believing this. You people think I'm kidding that this man is of the undead?
You know, I say that all the time.
Oh, my God. As you listen to this, don't you get that creepy Night of the Living Dead you just saw it on TV feeling? I don't mean the modern version. I mean the one that was made back in the 50s, the Night of the Living Dead. Oh, Jesus. He says, I don't know. We have lunch every week or two. Hayden and Negroponte and Peter Porter Goss and I, we've done it for 5 years, where we ritualistically drink the blood of Norwegian virgins to maintain our inhuman supernatural powers. Anything wrong with that? Yeah, anything wrong with that?
See, when I read that he had lunch every week or two, I figured that that's just as frequently as he had to feed.
That's about right. They have to feed at least once a week. The blood of Norwegian virgins shall be brought in big, big bags into the office where we sit around and drink. Oh, my little darling. Last one from Nosferumtu for the evening. Still on the... Seriously, folks, you notice the references to...
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
My name's Rachel, and in 8 years, I'll be an alcoholic.
Kids who drink before age 15 are 5 times more likely to have alcohol problems when they're adults.
I'll start drinking in middle school, and I'll do some things I don't really want to do. So by the time my parents talk to me about it, alcohol won't be my only problem.
So start talking before they start drinking. To learn more, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station.
Time furnished by the Office of National Drug Control Policy.
You're on the Ovaltine Nutrition Hotline with nutritionist Felicia Stoller.
Hi, I just found out that I'm lactose intolerant, but I love chocolate milk. Can I still use Ovaltine?
You sure can. Just add rich chocolate Ovaltine to your lactose-free milk. Not only does Ovaltine make lactose-free milk taste better, it also makes it better for you. That's because rich chocolate Ovaltine has 16 vitamins and minerals. So turn lactose-free milk into delicious chocolate milk that's really nutritious with rich chocolate Ovaltine.
More Ovaltine, please!
All right, it's about 16 before the hour. We lost the signal there for a while. I'm not sure exactly what you heard as a consumer of this program, but I'm going to assume that you did not hear the final comment from Rumsfeld from today's bloody, bloodthirsty press conference. We're going to stretch this break out as long as we can because I want to get this, this segment out. I guess we're going to take it all the way to the top of the hour? Oh, okay, no more breaks? Okay, well, that's cool. All right. Our connection to New York was sabotaged once again by these NSA bastards. This is the last one from Rummy, or Nosferumtu, if you want to call him that for the evening. He's still on the Hayden nomination here. And another reporter asked about the rumored bad blood between Rumsfeld and Mike Hayden from years ago. See, bad blood again. Yeah. The reporter begins, Mr. Secretary, one of the things, and after I set it up here, I'll let the reporter take his ass-kicking from Rumsfeld on his own here. The reporter says, one of the things that published reports have suggested is that you weren't happy with General Hayden back in 2004 when he testified that...
Oh, let's get right down into the minutiae. Won't that be fun? Let's not talk about how we get in good intelligence for the American people. Let's get down on who said what to when 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago. Is this an elevated network question?
I thought you could set the record straight about whether or not you were, because this is the source of some of the speculation that there's some tension in the relationship.
There isn't. I just said that. There is no tension. I've been working with Mike Hayden for 5+ years.
Were you upset with him in 2004, and did you scold him privately, as some published reports have suggested?
I don't get upset, if that's the word you want to use.
And when I feel an upset coming on, I reach into my pocket, and I come out with this little heart-shaped pill kit, and I reach inside, and you see these little black pills, and I take 2 or 7, and then I follow it with a huge foaming glass of nice cold Norwegian virgin blood! You sick bastard, what is your name, you reporter? Punk thug, who are you? Taking me into the minutia. Oh, am I pissed off at Hayden? Of course, I want to kill him. I want to slit his throat, but I'm not going to say it to you, you punk ass. Is this an elevated network question I'm hearing here? Thud, 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 thud. Pound, pound. Hello? This man... This guy makes Vietnam's Robert McNamara look like a well-ordered, non-insane mass killer. Rumsfeld, I've never, ever, ever heard such arrogance. He's almost like Melvin Laird, Nixon's Secretary of Defense. He's much worse. I mean, Melvin Laird was just this bullet-headed, let's nuke them all freak. But this guy, this bloodsucker, this eater of human flesh, Rumsfeld, come on, you know it's true. You know this son of a bitch is 7 centuries old. You know he sleeps in a box full of dirt from Moldova someplace or Romania. You know he does. And rats and worms and snakes swirl around him every place he goes. He brings death, death, death. Wherever he goes. Condoleezza Rice is to the point now when she criticized, made a mention of tactical errors. And he and she wound up in Iraq a few weeks later and he wouldn't even look at her. And Rice finally gets it. Oh my Christ, he's going to drink my blood. I better shut up. Even Cheney! Why do you think you'd ever hear Cheney? Rumsfeld has told him, hey, heart man, you come near me and I will eat your heart! This is Donald Rumsfeld. Oh, let's get right down into the minutiae, he says. Won't that be fun? You sorry reporter bastard. Give me your ID card. Come over here, boy. Give me your card. What's your blood type? I know where you live. I know where your grandparents live. I'm going to suck all of your blood. Blah! Sick son of a bitch.
There at the end when he said...
What? Oh, it's you. I'm sorry.
At the end when he said, I don't get upset, I just kept thinking, and I never drink wine.
I never drink wine. I take these little black pills shaped like hearts.
I don't get upset.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh. Every day. It never stops. There's no let up. Their poll numbers can dip into the single digits, and it won't matter. It's a race to the end here. They have until November to utterly and absolutely destroy everything that is decent that's left in this in our system of self-government. They have until November to corrupt and pollute and end it all. And they know there's a race to the end. That's why the civilians are being canned and the military is taking over. Quick, quick, quick. Get them in place. Get them in place. We don't want anyone who thinks. We want people who understand chain of command. It comes from me, Donald Rumsfeld. Not from the little twerp who sits over there on his bicycle. Not from Cheney, who just wants to make as much money as he can and shoot people in the face. It comes from me, from me, from me. I'm Donald Rumsfeld. I need blood. I need lots of blood. I need rooms full of blood. I need oceans of blood. Of blood, I tell you. Let me see your ID card, reporter boy. Bring it here. Bring it to Uncle Donnie. No, 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 no. Better yet, wait until tonight. Don't even bother locking the door to your room, reporter boy, because I walk through doors. Doors mean nothing to me. I dematerialize and rematerialize next to your bed. And then I sink my fangs into your neck, reporter boy. Ah, let's get into the minutia. Get into the minutia while I get into your corpuscles. Tell me about your capillaries. I see them throbbing in your arteries. Bring it on, reporter boy. Jesus, Malloy, get a grip. Come on, Mike. Mike! Mike! Oh, oh, whew. Oh my God, what happened? Kathy, what happened? What's been going on? Did we...
Are we on?
I don't know. I feel like somebody has had control of this program. I don't know. Oh. We better take a call very, very quickly here before something happens. Bob is calling from Atlanta. Bob, welcome to the program.
Mike, just want to compliment you on just an amazing program and the effort that you make to keep educating people out here who are so far behind the learning curve and who can't get the information from the media today the way it is.
Or from the Tibetan Book of the Dead.
And I really appreciate your theater and your humor and the way you present this. I think it's part of the way that Jon Stewart is so successful in moving people politically and bringing up issues in a non-threatening manner makes it a lot more palatable for the average person to digest. But I'm really, I mentioned I want to talk about Rumsfeld. I really feel like Rumsfeld is the fall guy, the Elliot Abrams, if you will, like Iran-Contra, only he's the fall guy for this whole Iraq thing.
But Rumsfeld is, I believe this, he is mad. He's a madman. Abrams, yeah, he may have been the fall guy. Abrams was just your typical embedded Zionist. That's all he cared about. If it meant using Central America as a training ground for Mossad, he couldn't care less. Rumsfeld is not a Zionist. Rumsfeld is just your typical run-of-the-mill mass killer who, if he weren't in government, would probably be in prison or dangling from a rope or something for the murder he has committed on this planet.
Yeah, you know, I'm not as educated as you are on this, and my point about that though is that he's a convenient target for the Bush administration right now, or the regular media can go and attack Rumsfeld because it's politically incorrect for them to attack Bush or to attack the slaughter that's going on in Iraq and the 100,000 people we've slaughtered there, the war crime we've committed there, and so forth and so on. But more importantly, and I've heard you quote the truth out a couple of times, have you... I'm curious about where this is going to go. These guys are going down, and they've been ahead in this war on terror. They've got to... Do you think they're going to... You know, I don't think the people out there understand that Iran, because it's so mountainous, for them to get to these caches where they're doing their nuclear stuff, this is the reason for the so-called small nukes that Bush is developing. And there's so many things I'd like to talk to you about, but we'll just stick with this one thing. But I'm just curious to know what your opinion is. Where is this, you know, there's nobody in the Democratic Party ahead of this. The Republican Party has played them all the way. There's no spokesperson still for the Democratic Party. And they won't go against this political correctness of Iran being evil or people in the Middle East being evil.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is their play. This is how they got reelected, if in fact they did win that.
Well, I think I understand your question, and I honestly believe, with no reservations, that this crew, this Bush crime family, if they can get away with this, they are going to. As a matter of fact, I think the technology is being worked on now, so-called small or tactical nuclear weapons. I think the national labs in the United States,
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
America Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza. A rare fungal eye infection has federal health authorities stymied. But what they do know thus far is nearly two-thirds of the people with the infection reported using the newest contact lens cleaner made by Bausch & Lomb. The company has stopped U.S. sales of its solution, Renew with Moisture Lock, after the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said it was investigating the outbreak of the infection. The CDC says the number of confirmed cases is now up to 106, and a spokeswoman says it's still too early to say what's causing it. A federal inspection of a Bausch & Lomb factory in South Carolina didn't turn up any evidence of contamination, but more detailed tests should take weeks to analyze. A deal reached extending tax breaks for investors. Republicans in Congress have reached the deal on a $70 billion measure. The deal would also prevent more middle-income families from being hit by a tax aimed at the wealthy. The bill gives President Bush a two-year extension of the reduced 15% tax rate for capital gains and dividends, currently set to expire at the end of 2008. Republicans claim the tax cuts enacted in 2003 have boosted economic growth and created many jobs. U.S. support for humanitarian aid at the United Nations. Mideast peacekeepers at the United Nations say the U.S. has agreed to support a new program to temporarily send humanitarian aid directly to the Palestinian people. No terms of the agreement were revealed. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says the European Union will take the lead in the new effort. The United Nations and Russia and other partners in the Quartet Peacemaking Group, along with the U.S., also endorsed the program. 17 die from a suicide truck bomb blast at an Iraqi market in Tal Afar. Police say some 35 have been wounded. The violence caps an already bloody day in which drive-by shootings killed four Iraqis and a roadside bomb killed a police officer in his patrol car. Back in March, you'll recall, President Bush called the northern city of Tal Afar a success story for putting down rebel violence. A choice for Iran. Key Security Council nations have decided to offer Iran a choice of either sanctions or benefits as it decides whether to comply with international nuclear demands. Joining in the decision were the U.S., Russia, China, Britain, France, and Germany. A European official says the offer delays prospects for a harsh U.N. resolution that could have threatened sanctions or even military action for non-compliance. Tehran has already defied Security Council demands for an end to Iran's nuclear enrichment program. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza. We'll be right back.
story in your eyes. It's been shining down upon me now.
Welcome back, I think. Are we back on? All right. Sorry about this, everybody. We are. We have too many problems with connections on this program for me to just sit here and say, oh, well, the ISDN dropped. I wonder about the sabotage. I really do. I really, really do. Oh, you sound like a conspiracy theorist there, Mike. You just have this stupid little old program. Why would anybody want to do anything with your stupid little old program? You know, I don't know, but I do apologize. We were talking with Bob in Atlanta, who I think may still be on the line. Are you still there, Bob?
Mike.
Hey, you made it through all that?
Remarkable, and I don't think you're a conspiracy theorist. I think we hit some hot buttons, and somebody shut it off.
Well, if it happens a third time tonight, I just want to alert the audience. If it happens a third time tonight, we're going to bail out for the rest of the evening because it means we're really being attacked. I sound like some kind of a freak, but you know, I don't know what to believe. Anyway, where were we, Bob?
Well, back about the Iran bombings, the truth out, and I know you've quoted them before. I can quote something from the truth out, can I?
If it's quick.
It's real quick. It's This test they're going to do in Nevada on June 2nd, they're calling it, you'll love this, a divine strake.
Right. Yeah, we talked about that extensively, especially the word strake and what it is. It's a mechanical term. Mechanical term. But the divine part, to me, is an obscenity. It's just an absolute obscenity, unless they are talking about the destroyer of worlds. Who was it that... when the first bomb, the first atomic bomb was tested, and I am not Shiva. I am who was it? The Oppenheimer watched.
Oh yeah, right. I vaguely understand what you're talking about.
Hindu mythology, where when Oppenheimer saw the first atom bomb go off in Nevada that he had worked on, Robert Oppenheimer, he saw this explosion and the incredible fact that they had unleashed the power of the atom and turned it into a weapon.
He
watched it, and he said, I am Shiva. He quoted from the, I think, the Bhagavad Gita, where he said, I am Shiva, the destroyer of worlds. But it wasn't Shiva. It was one of the other Hindu gods. So anyway, it wasn't Kali. Kali is the female Hindu god who likes to eat her children. But anyway, I'm sorry, Bob. I'm tripping tonight, absolutely tripping. I think I got some of the brown acid before we came to work tonight, rather than the good orange sunshine, and I'm just tripping my brains out here.
I'm gonna finish up here because I don't want to be a hog on your line here. But
okay.
The other divine tests are divine warhawk and divine hates. There's like 9 tests they have planned.
Oh my God!
But for all the religious people out there. I think they ought to make a note here, but and I really appreciate the freedom from religion that you talk about.
Right.
It's extremely important today. When people take and excuse things that are really wrongful and then quote God or some other thing, I can't think of any worse use of divine nature, God, or spirituality.
No, nor can I.
If there was one symbol to the Christians out there that Jesus Christ supposed, and I'm not preaching,
mm-hmm.
but if there was one symbol from this guy Christ that supposedly lived and did this.
Right.
What he did in Roman times was he went against the grain. He showed people how to go out and go against the ways of the world and basically put his ass on the line and got killed for it. And I think the real lesson in real Christianity is you stand up, you take a chance, and you step out of the crowd, not in the crowd that's popular, and you lose your soul to get your to regain your soul,
mm-hmm.
you have to first lose it. And it's so turned around today that people, I mean, I understand people want to be spiritual, they want to be good religious people and so forth and so on, but we really need some leadership somewhere. And I don't know where it's going to come out of it. I can see this Bush crime family going down. I'll leave the rest with you. I'm going to get off. Thank you for taking the time. Believe me, you're a manna for the soul. I listen to you a lot, and just keep up the good work.
Well, buddy. Thanks for checking in, Bob. I do appreciate it. You take care. Take care, and I'm sorry for all the screw-ups here. I certainly understand what Bob was trying to say about the positive aspect of spirituality or religion or religious beliefs. I understand that, but I also understand that religion is non-existent without its evil dark twin. I mean, there's no such thing as redemption unless there's sin, right? There's no such thing as life unless there's death. We have the real world that we can deal with that is difficult enough to deal with, and I refuse to go any longer. I made the decision 4 or 5 years ago to go no longer into religious superstition, which, as far as I'm concerned, has unleashed on the human spirit more negativity and poison and death and anger and rage and distrust and fear than any other enterprise that humans have ever gotten involved in, up to and including nuclear bombs. It has been as prevalent and as long in terms of time as there have been humans. You know, this caveman inability to understand that there are no haints and spirits and things living in the clouds and flapping around and if you don't believe this way, I'm going to cut your throat. And if you don't believe that way, the spooks are going to cut your throat. After you die, they're going to throw you into a pit of boiling vomit, and you're going to burn for all eternity. To me, religion is one of the most vile, sick enterprises ever unleashed on humans. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I can't stand it. Because anytime, and this has been my experience, anytime you take a look at any religious belief, the canon requires that, or states that if you don't believe this way, then your eternal soul is doomed. Now I know there are very primitive, and yes, I'm using it in specifically. Primitive religions who don't get into all that, they just believe that you float off and sky things carry you away, whatever, no matter how you lived. But I'm talking about especially the people of the book, these three religions. Four when you add Hinduism, five when you, oh, the hell with it. I hate getting into this discussion, but whenever I hear somebody talk about that, no disrespect to Bob, I don't mean any disrespect here at all. I'm not talking about Bob's comments because he's right on. I'm just talking about that ugly downside to religious superstition that brings with it. You know, I don't care how many hymns you sing. I don't care how much rejoicing and tears of joy flow from your eyes. There is also the clear understanding that if you don't believe this way, you are going to burn in hell forever. Now, to me, that's unhealthy. Very simple. Sorry. I kind of hold with Janine Garofalo when she does. She and I did the same promo for the Freedom From Religion Foundation. She signs off of hers as saying, Janine Garofalo, proud atheist. Absolutely. 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 As far as the destroyer of worlds, Vishnu, Shiva. Okay, well, Bina wrote in and said, yes, it is indeed Shiva, as cited in the Bhagavad Gita. Now I am become death, destroyer of worlds. Okay, thanks, Bina. Thanks. But going back to Bob's point about the nuclear bombs, you know, this explosion coming June 2nd, Kathy, or June 6th? June 2nd. No, we're being told that's not going to be a nuclear bomb. It's going to be 700 tons, 1.4 million pounds of explosives going off in what heretofore has been an area used for nuclear weapons. Think about the whatever radioactive dust exists out there being lifted up into a cloud that carries through not necessarily the highest levels of the atmosphere, but high enough to be carried around the rest of the United States, whatever is downwind that day. These evil sons of bitches, they are just evil, this Bush crime family. They are evil down to their rotten core. Trying to keep you, and I don't know if I can do it. Oh no.
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
View our nuclear arsenal as a deterrent. I'm interested in having an arsenal at my disposal.
Gotta keep those
Welcome back. 22 past the hour. Okay, it was Vishnu that Oppenheimer was quoting. Apparently, I'm getting a lot of answers here. God, I wish I was as smart as some of the people listening to this program. And I mean that. I'm not being a smartass. I really do. All right, back to the phone calls. Mary is calling from Mississippi. Mary, thanks for your patience. Welcome to the program.
Oh, good evening. I've been listening to you the past 2 weeks, and I was hoping you were doing okay, so that's why I called. You also been talking about conspiracy.
Right.
And I think I'm really in that case here because I've taken a step further. What kind of bothers me is that, you know, on the one hand, this government seems to be owned by some of the Arabic countries, and yet Israel doesn't have a problem with that. So,
wait a minute. Israel doesn't have a problem with what?
Israel does not have a problem, does not appear to have a problem with the cozy relationship that this administration has with some of the Arab countries. That's always been interesting to me. Why don't they have a problem with that? So you have...
Well, I think a very quick answer, geopolitically, the Americans have never had a relationship with Arab countries. It was always with Israel and the Soviet Union. I'm talking about during the Cold War. The Soviet Union had the relationship with the Arab countries, and that resulted in that element of tension. But we're not in the Cold War anymore. We're in a whole different. This is a race for the remaining fuel resources, the so-called fossil fuel resources of oil and natural gas. And I think the Israelis understand that America is making nice with these Arab countries has nothing to do with respect for their culture, their religion, their form of self-government, whether it's dictatorship or tribalism. The only thing the Americans are interested in is locking down those oil resources.
Does I understand that.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying that, well, I just find it very interesting. And that's always been the case about oil, but they've always objected in the past if the United States government tried to cozy up to some of the other Arab countries. I mean, the oil, that's always been the case. That's not going to change. But my second question or thought is, I think it's interesting that all of the ex-presidents, got their daily briefings. So it would be interesting to know how much Clinton knew about 9-1-1. I think there's more to this conspiracy than we've really touched upon, and I don't think it's just limited to the Republican Party.
Well, I hope it's an answer that we'll get someday. I mean, Clinton had his experience with an attack on the Trade Towers, and as a result, Clinton's Justice Department, put four or five people in prison forever. They caught the people who did the bombing the first time with a car bomb. That intent was to bring down at least one of the Trade Towers way back in 1993. And the Clinton administration tracked the bastards down, tried them, convicted them, and sent them to prison for life, I guess. So, as far as beyond that, I understand that Clinton certainly was not a dummy, and he knew what the U.S. policy had been in the 80s, where it concerned the Soviet Union's enterprise in Afghanistan. Clinton understood that we were supporting the Mujahideen, which eventually were going to snake back on us, the so-called blowback. So, I agree with you. I'd like to know to what extent Clinton knew, what he knew, when he knew it. All of them. Bush Sr., Clinton, Bush Jr., I don't know. But I do know this. I don't think we'll ever know the truth. You understand what I'm saying with that?
Well, I'll leave you with this thought. I also don't think things are going to change whether the Democrats get in or not. I think, again, if there's a conspiracy, I think it extends into both parties. And
well,
thanks so much. I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Thanks, Mary. I appreciate your call. I hate to say it, but I tend to disagree with that last part because as ineffective, ineffectual, cowardly, and close to Republicans as Democrats are, national Democrats, for the most part, there is still an element, a vein of old Democratic Party principles that run through this party. I'm going to give it one more chance. I really am. I hope that what Mary and a lot of intelligent people suggest is not true about the Democrats. We'll see, though. All right, when we come back, believe this or not, we're on the last chapter of George Orwell's 1984. We only have maybe tonight, tomorrow, and possibly Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night, and we'll be finished with this entire novel. It's staggering. So we begin the last chapter when we come back from this break. Stick around. I'm Mike Malone on Air America.
So you think you're a winner, but you're losing again. The cards have already been dealt, and the hand that you hold.
Is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Every day, Aleve helps millions of people overcome the pain of arthritis. In recognition of Arthritis Month, Aleve is bringing you one of their stories every day.
I'm Phyllis Ocean, and this is my story. When I was diagnosed, my arthritis was in my knees. I started using Aleve. You don't know how good you feel until the pain is gone.
31 people, 31 stories, 31 days of good news. That's a daily dose.
Aleve works for me.
Watch for a new story each day on national TV and AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Jen, what's up?
Hey, how'd you know I was having a party?
Everyone knows you're having a party.
Yeah, pretty crazy, isn't it?
Totally.
Hey, I'm gonna smoke up. Wanna get high? Here, you'll like this.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Some of the best minds in the automotive industry, using some of the most sophisticated design facilities. Engineers from Ford Motor Company are working together on a common mission, creating safer cars for our families and our children. Ford is renewing its commitment to driving American innovation. At the core of that effort is your safety, because every single life saved is worth it. Ford, driving American innovation.
Nice shot!
Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine?
Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon. Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making...
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste. And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
We'll be right back.
Last night's reading, Winston Smith had been taken to room 101, wherein existed the most horrible, terrifying thing in the world for Winston Smith. It was a cage of rats. And since it was the most horrible, unendurable thing in Winston Smith's consciousness, he had to stop it whatever way possible, and he did so by giving up Julia. Do it to her. Do it to Julia. And then he was released, and we'll pick it up from there. The chestnut tree was almost empty. A ray of sunlight slanting through a window fell on dusty tabletops. It was the lonely hour of 15. A tinny music trickled from the telescreens. Winston sat in his usual corner, gazing into an empty glass. Now and again he glanced up at a vast face which eyed him from the opposite wall. "Big Brother is watching you," the caption said. Unbidden, a waiter came and filled his glass up with Victory Gin, shaking into it a few drops from another bottle with a quill through the cork. It was saccharine flavored with cloves, the specialty of the cafe. Winston was listening to the telescreen. At present, only music was coming out of it, but there was a possibility that any moment there might be a special bulletin from the Ministry of Peace. The news from the African front was disquieting in the extreme. On and off, he had been worrying about it all day. A Eurasian army... Oceania was not at war with Eurasia. Oceania had always been at war with Eurasia. A Eurasian army was moving southward at terrifying speed. The midday bulletin was not mentioned, had not mentioned any definite area, but it was probable that already the mouth of the Congo was a battlefield. Brazzaville and Leopoldville were in danger. One did not have to look at a map to see what it meant. It was not merely a question of losing Central Africa. For the first time in the whole war, the territory of Oceania was itself menaced. A violent emotion, not fear exactly, but a sort of undifferentiated excitement flared up in him, then faded again. He stopped thinking about the war. In these days, he could never fix his mind on any one subject for more than a few moments at a time. He picked up his glass and drained it at a gulp. As always, the gin made him shudder and even retch slightly. The stuff was horrible. The cloves and saccharin themselves, disgusting enough in their sickly way, could not disguise the flat, oily smell. And what was worst of all, was that the smell of gin, which dwelt with him night and day, was inextricably mixed up in his mind with the smell of those, he never named them, even in his thoughts, for, and so far as it was possible, he never visualized them. There was something that he was half aware of, hovering close to his face, a smell that clung to his nostrils. As the gin rose in him, he belched through purple lips. He had grown fatter since they released him, and had regained his old color, indeed, more than regained it. His features had thickened. The skin on nose and cheekbones was coarsely red. Even the bald scalp was too deep a pink. A waiter, again unbidden, brought the chessboard in the current issue of the Times, with the page turned down at the chess problem. Then, seeing that Winston's glass was empty, he brought the gin bottle and filled it. There was no need to give orders. They knew his habits. The chessboard was always waiting for him. His corner table was always reserved. Even when the place was full, he had it to himself, since nobody cared to be seen sitting too close to him. He never even bothered to count his drinks. At irregular intervals, they presented him with a dirty slip of paper, which they said was the bill, but he had the impression that they always undercharged him. It would have made no difference if it had been the other way about. He had always plenty of money nowadays. He even had a job, a sinecure, more highly paid than his old job had been. The music from the telescreen stopped, and a voice took over. Winston raised his head to listen. No bulletins from the front, however. It was merely a brief announcement from the Ministry of Plenty. In the preceding quarter, it appeared, the 10th three-year plan's quota for bootlaces had been overfilled by 98%. He examined the chess problem and set out the pieces. It was a tricky ending involving a couple of knights. White to play and mate in two moves. Winston looked up at the portrait of Big Brother. White always mates, he thought, with a sort of cloudy mysticism. Always, without exception. It is so arranged, and no chess problem since the beginning of the world has black ever won. Did it not symbolize the eternal, unvarying triumph of good over evil? The huge face gazed back at him, full of calm power. White always mates. The voice from the telescreen paused and added in a different and much graver tone, You are warned to stand by for an important announcement at 15:30. 15:30. This is news of the highest importance. Take care not to miss it. 15:30. The tinkling music struck up again. Winston's heart stirred. That was the bulletin from the front. Instinct told him that it was bad news that was coming. All day, and with little spurts of excitement, the thought of a smashing defeat in Africa had been in and out of his mind. He seemed actually to see the Eurasian army swarming across the never-broken frontier and pouring down into the tip of Africa like a column of ants. Why had it not been possible to outflank them in some way? The outline of the West African coast stood out vividly in his mind. He picked up the White Knight and moved it back across the board. There was the proper spot. Even while he saw the black horde racing southward, he saw another force, mysteriously assembled, suddenly planted in their rear, cutting their communications by land and by sea. He felt that by willing it, he was bringing that other force into existence, but it was necessary to act quickly. If they could get control of the whole of Africa, if they had airfields and submarine bases at the Cape, it would cut Oceania in two. It might mean anything. Defeat, breakdown, the redivision of the world, the destruction of the party. He drew a deep breath. An extraordinary medley of feeling, but it was not a medley exactly. Rather, it was successive layers of feeling in which one could not say which layer was undermost, struggled inside of him. The spasm passed. He put the White Knight back in its place, but for the moment he could not settle down to serious study of the chess problem. His thoughts wandered again. Almost unconsciously, he traced with his finger in the dust on the table, 2 + 2 = 5.
They can't get inside you,
she had said, but they could get inside you. What happens to you here is forever, O'Brien had said. That was a true word. There were things, your own acts, from which you could never recover. Something was killed in your breast, burnt out, cauterized out. He had seen her. He had even spoken to her. There was no danger in it. He knew as though instinctively that they now took almost no interest in his doings. He could have arranged to meet her a second time if either of them had wanted to. Actually, it was by chance that they had met. It was in the park, on a vile, biting day in March, when the earth was like iron and all the grass seemed dead, and there was not a bud anywhere except a few crocuses which had pushed themselves up to be dismembered by the wind. He was hurrying along with frozen hands and watering eyes when he saw her not 10 meters away from him. It struck him at once that she had changed in some ill-defined way. They almost passed one another without a sign. Then he turned and followed her, not very eagerly. He knew that there was no danger. Nobody would take any interest in him. She did not speak. She walked obliquely away across the grass as though trying to get rid of him, then seemed to resign herself to having him at her side. Presently they were in among a clump of ragged, leafless shrubs, useless either for concealment or as protection from the wind. They halted. It was vilely cold. The wind whistled through the twigs and fretted the occasional dirty-looking crocuses. He put his arm round her waist. There was no telescreen, but there must be hidden microphones. Besides, they could be seen. It did not matter. Nothing mattered. They could have lain down on the ground and done that if they had wanted to. His flesh froze with horror at the thought of it. She made no response whatever to the clasp of his arm. She did not even try to disengage herself. He knew now what had changed in her. Her face was sallower, and there was a long scar, partly hidden by the hair across her forehead and temple. But that was not the change. It was that her waist had grown thicker, and in a surprising way had stiffened. He remembered how once, after the explosion of a rocket bomb, he had helped to drag a corpse out of some ruins and had been astonished not only by the incredible weight of the thing, but by its rigidity and awkwardness to handle, which made it seem more like stone than flesh. Her body felt like that. It occurred to him that the texture of her skin would be quite different from what it had once been. He did not attempt to kiss her, nor did they speak. As they walked back across the grass, she looked directly at him for the first time. It was only a momentary glance, full of contempt and dislike. He wondered whether it was a dislike that came purely out of the past, or whether it was inspired also by his bloated face and the water that the wind kept squeezing from his eyes. They sat down on 2 iron chairs, side by side, but not too close together. He saw that she was about to speak. She moved her clumsy shoe a few centimeters and deliberately crushed a twig. Her feet seemed to have grown broader. He noticed.
I betrayed you,
she said blandly. I betrayed you, he said. She gave him another quick look of dislike.
Sometimes,
she said,
they threaten you with something, something you can't stand up to, can't even think about. And then you say, don't do it to me. Do it to somebody else. Do it to so-and-so. And perhaps you might pretend afterward that it was only a trick, that you just said it to make them stop and didn't really mean it. But that isn't true. At the time when it happens, you do mean it. You think there's no other way of saving yourself, and you're quite ready to save yourself that way. You want it to happen to the other person. You don't give a damn what they suffer. All you care about is yourself.
All you care about is yourself, he echoed.
And after that, you don't feel the same toward the other person any longer.
No, he said. You don't feel the same. There did not seem to be anything more to say. The wind plastered their thin overalls against their bodies. Almost at once, it became embarrassing to sit there in silence. Besides, it was too cold to keep still. She said something about catching her tube and stood up to go. We must meet again, he said.
Yes, we must meet again.
He followed irresolutely for a little distance, half a pace behind her. They did not speak again. She did not actually try to shake him off, but walked at just such a speed as to prevent his keeping abreast of her. He had made up his mind that he would accompany her as far as the tube station, but suddenly this process of trailing along in the cold seemed pointless and unbearable. He was overwhelmed by a desire not so much to get away from Julia as to get back to the Chestnut Tree Cafe, which had never seemed so attractive as at this moment. He had a nostalgic vision of his corner table with the newspaper and the chessboard and the overflowing gin. Above all, it would be warm in there.
There'll be nobody home.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Dr. Katie Rodan. Dr. Kathy Fields and I created Proactive Solution because acne is the number one problem we see in our practices. As dermatologists, we treat acne as a physical condition. But what really affected us was seeing the emotional toll acne takes. So maybe you're the one with the breakouts. You shy away from social situations. You avoid being photographed, or you won't leave the house without makeup. So what's preventing you from trying Proactiv? My guess is that you're afraid. You're afraid that it just won't work. Afraid to get your hopes up, only to be disappointed. This time you don't have to worry. We are so confident that Proactiv will work for you that I'm offering you a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Solution.
Just call 1-800-426-0651 and you'll become a believer. Let Proactiv prove it. Call 1-800-426-0651 for your risk-free trial. Call 1-800-426-0651. Call now.
you think she's good enough.
It's about 8 before the hour. Thanks to the crew, Justin Yuen, and our resident rock star, Jason Isaac, who engineered the program in New York, in spite of all the technical screw-ups. That was not their fault. Dee Neal is our associate producer and answer your calls at the home office in New York City. Thanks, Dee. Also, thanks to Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, and Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay is the executive producer of this program. If you are so inclined, please go to radiopower.org, a website that has provided a tremendous amount of support to liberal talk radio, and do whatever you think is right. Radiopower.org, our good friend Shelby LePray, who runs that, is in some serious financial problems, not because of mismanagement of funds, but because of a real disaster that struck out there.
And after you finish donating there, get an extra bag of food at your grocery and leave it for your mail carrier on Friday, not because they're hungry, but because they'll pick it up donate it to a worthy cause.
That's good. Yeah, that's a good idea. See, this is how liberals do it, you know? Don't you wish we had a checkbook with the Walmart family or the Microsoft family or the Exxon family, and just sit down and write checks, huh?
Or the Cheneys. I'd throw my money away.
All right. Let's get a couple more calls in here. Elizabeth is calling from Savannah, Georgia. Elizabeth, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I wanted to talk about the testing on June 2nd in Nevada. I've heard a lot of people that have some concerns about the mushroom cloud and what may be picked up into the air. My father-in-law, retired Air Force, worked for the Department of Defense with the Air Force for 30 years. He's a nuclear physicist and worked at the Pentagon as well. Now he's actually a civilian contractor with the Department of Defense. And he worked in Nevada for 2 years underground, and that's what he does. He builds bombs and he tests them. And I do want to say that a lot of that stuff is done underground and it is controlled. The particular day, June, the things that are going to go on June 2nd, I haven't spoke to him about. He mostly works in Texas now because he is working for a different company, or he's working as a civilian. But a lot of those things are done underground.
Well, this one is going to be out in the open, according to the Department of Energy, unless, like most of the members of the Bush crime family, they're lying about that. But this is going to be done out in the open. As a matter of fact, a spokesman for DOE said that the citizens of Nevada would be able to witness a huge mushroom-shaped cloud as a result of this explosion.
Okay. I haven't been able to come across any information about it, so I was just wondering where people are getting it.
I'll tell you the best way to handle it. Do a Google search on this explosion on June the 2nd, and you'll have maybe, 500-700 articles that will give you all the information you need while you're waiting to hear from your father-in-law, did you say it was?
Yeah, it's my father-in-law.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks, Elizabeth. I appreciate you checking in.
Thank you.
All right. You have a nice evening. Mike is calling from New Jersey. Mike, welcome to the program.
Mike, hey.
Yes.
I made it through, man. Awesome, awesome. Huge fan of the show.
Well, thank you very much.
A couple things real quick, because I know we're pressed for time. One, I was watching Bill Maher's show this past weekend, and he was saying something that I agreed with, which was that the people, instead of Mousawi, who had probably little or nothing to do with the 9/11 attacks, people that we actually had in custody, like, say, perhaps this Khalid Sheikh Mohammed character or the Ramzi bin al-Shib character, they may have actually had something to do with it, can't be brought to trial because they've been tortured.
Exactly. Well, they can't be brought to trial in a U.S. court.
Right,
but in a military tribunal, it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. They can sit there stunned. They can sit there with their eyes gouged out.
Yeah.
They can sit there handcuffed and gagged, and the court will present testimony and convict them and execute them.
Couldn't agree with you more. Second thing, and just real quick, I sent you an email a little while ago, probably about an hour ago, just on the lighter side of things. I'm an aspiring screenwriter, and I was looking through a email that had been sent to me today with some links, and it appears that the descendants of Bram Stoker, who actually wrote Dracula, have approved a sequel. For the first time, you know, like ever, they're given like their stamp of approval. So apparently you're right on the money here with this vampirism link. And
well,
they're looking for A-list stars.
I went to that site and just took a quick look. I'll look more when I get home tonight and have a glass of wine.
Before Fangoria, I go to bed. Fangoria.com. Man.
All right. What is it again?
Fangoria. It's like for horror movies.
Yeah, all right, gotcha. Sort of. Thanks for sending it, Mike. I appreciate it. Take care, pal. We got a boogie. And thanks, everybody else, for participating tonight. Sorry for the technical screw-ups. It'll never happen again. If it does, I'll just commit ritual harakiri on the program. I'll see you tomorrow night. All right, take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 75,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals. Call right now and we'll also include for free the RX Saver discount prescription card. The RX Saver is accepted in most pharmacies nationwide and provides savings of up to 60% off most medications. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Use the Optimum Health discount card risk-free for 30 days and start saving now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.